Good to have all of you here this evening. I trust that you had a good afternoon. This Sunday in particular for our church is pretty busy. Every month we go out to the nursing home ministry and spend the afternoon over there with them for a little while. And last month, you know, we lost two of the ladies that had been coming for a while. Today I noticed that Miss Virginia's not looking quite right. I don't know quite how long we'll have Sister Virginia. She wasn't looking good at all. She had come, but she wasn't looking good. She looked really, really sickly. She all prayed for Sister Virginia in particular. She is a real blessing to us. Good to have visitors with us. If we could, we'd go to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to continue studying through. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Little series we've been on for quite some time. And hope you enjoy it. And then we had also the nursery workers meeting. I was telling Brother Josh during that time that the nursery work and the sewing work, what we've been covering over the last 10 weeks, is probably two of the most important ministries of the church, or two of the most difficult to manage, to say the least. It really is. So if you're involved in either one of those, we do appreciate it. It makes a great deal of difference when you are faithful to those there. It really does help things go really well. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to read again verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now what we're trying to aim at, what we're trying to ferret out of the scriptures is tonight, is that we understand that the highest motivation for obeying Christ's command and being involved in reaching people with the gospel, it's not the need of mankind. The need is great. People without Christ should die and spend eternity in the devil's hell. This is just biblical teaching. Great need. But I believe the greatest need would be rather, it is the love of Christ that should motivate us. The love of Christ does what? Starts with it. Constrains us. So the greatest motivation, now listen, if you look at the need and that's what moves you to tell somebody about Jesus, I'm quite okay with that. I really am. I'm not gonna come to you and say, now listen, you got this a little backwards. No, I'm not going to. Stay busy. But I think the greatest motivation for us, and I think it would help us, is to understand the love of Christ constrains us. And so that's what we're trying to look at and aim, and that's what we're trying to get at when we're studying through here. You know, the Bible says something very plain, and we're going to look at a verse in a minute at what it actually says. But it says that those that are without Christ are condemned when? Oh, it's already a done deal, right? Already. Without hope, basically, is what it's saying. They're condemned already. It's not like, well, you know, when I get down the road at about 16 years old and I do some real, 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 real mean things, then I'd be condemned. No, dear friend, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So we're condemned already. Now we as God's people, we have to understand something too, that our silence when it comes to Jesus I believe personally is a sin. Well, where do you get that? James says, for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Lollipops. It's sin. And if telling somebody about the love of Jesus, the love of God, is not doing good, then I don't know what is. So we have to understand that we have a great responsibility before us. A great responsibility. Now, listen, salvation is of the Lord. I think another thing that hinders us as witnesses is that we feel the pressure. Sometimes it's put on by the leadership. Sometimes it's put on by the pastor. You know, listen, you ain't been a soul winner, and you ain't won nobody to the Lord the last year, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you feel the pressure. And I'm telling you, we're not good at handling pressure, to be honest with you. Is it an evil thing? Yes, it's an evil thing, because Jesus said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. So therefore it is a... Well, when it's put in that light, when the Scripture puts it like that, when, as my Father sent me, that's what Jesus said, so send I you. It therefore becomes a what? Responsibility. But it also is, first it's a responsibility, but it's also a privilege. It's a great privilege to be able to be an ambassador for Christ. And that's a privilege. It really is. And so if we keep focused here, we get to understand, well, it's not the need that should motivate me to go. It is the fact that Christ first loved me. The love of Christ constrains me. So therefore, I should go and should be involved in it. And we got to understand that salvation is of the Lord. The Bible says, I water and some plant, or I plant and some water, but it's God that bringeth the increase. Now, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, explains to us what is sometimes commonly referred to as the good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. You got that, Brother Jim? You read that for us, verse 1 through 4.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
So simply there put the gospel message, what is the good news. Now, if we understand something, if we're going to refer to this as the good news, what? That Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried according to Scripture, according to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ rose again according to Scripture the third day. If this is the good news, then what is the opposite? If you got good news, you got to have something else. Bad news. The bad news is simply, dear friend, that we cannot get to heaven by ourselves. We needed Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The bad news is that there's a wage for the sin that I am in debt to. I'm not indebted. The wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so if this is the good news, we got to understand something, that the bad news is that they're condemned already. It's very plain. Now, every Christian, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you, every Christian has been given the tools. Now, let me clarify what a Christian is, because in this day and age, we sometimes we think if we just go to church, we all of a sudden become a Christian. That's like you be climbing up into your refrigerator and staying there for 6 months, you'd come out a gallon of milk. It ain't happening that way. You became a Christian because you realized that you were dead in trespass and sin. That you had void in your life, that you had fallen short of the glory of God, that the mark, listen, the mark is God. The mark is not Brother Jim. The mark is not Brother The mark is not Brother Bernie or Brother James. It's not Sister Kim. It's not Sister Amanda. The mark is God. And when we measure up to God, we all fall short of the glory of God. And so we realize that, hey, I am falling short. I have transgressed God's law. I am a sinner by birth. I am a sinner by birth. It's how I came out of my mother's womb. A sinner, and Christ came into this world that he might save sinners. And Paul said this, of whom I am chief. So the bad news is that I am going to spend eternity in a devil's hell if I never accept Christ, according to Scripture, not according to our church, not according to the denomination which we belong to, but according to Scripture. That's why 1 Corinthians 15, he puts it so plainly, according to Scripture, if you die without Christ, you'll spend eternity in the devil's hell. The good news is that eternal life is a gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I realize I need a Savior, who Jesus Christ is the Savior, and I put my faith and trust in Him, and therefore, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. And I am equipped to be a witness of the good news, which I have partaken of. Now, we looked at these verses. I'm not going to look at them again, but I want you to kind of either write them down or something. But in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Mark 16, verse 15, Luke 24, I'll read them again slower. Luke 24, 46 through 48, John 20, 21, and Acts 1 through 8. That's five verses. I'm going to give them again. Here we go. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, verse 15. Luke 24, verses 46 through 48. John chapter 20, verse 21. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These scriptures are all dealing with the same context, the same point, the same principle, the same commandment. And that is that we should all strive to be soul winners. We've been given a commandment by God to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So that is the commandment that we've been given. Why obey Him? For the love of Christ constrains me to do so. Pastor, is there a verse in the Bible that talks about it? Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says that very same thing there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. You got it, Brother Bill? Will you read it for us?
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus live, that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
The love of Christ constrains us. That is why we obey these other five verses. The love of Christ constrains us to do so. It motivates us. It brings us to a point. And our obedience, dear friend, to Christ's command is real proof. It is real proof of our love for Him. Pastor, that is not true. Oh, yes, it is. I'm glad you asked. Look over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. Brother Mike, you got that? 1 John 5, 3. Ooh. Wow. Well, this is the love of God. That we do what? Keep His commandments. His commandments aren't grievous.
And I'll be honest with you, it's a fearful thing sometimes, dear friend, to stand in our own flesh, our own power, our own might, to present somebody with the option of accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But when we get to the point where we understand that the real motivation is that the love of Christ constrains me to do so, and therefore I am sharing with them good news. I mean, it really is good news that they don't have to spend eternity in the devil's hell. Now, here's the thing we got to understand. As we plant and we water, as we sow the seed, they do not have to receive it. But it's not your responsibility for them to receive it. It is our responsibility and privilege to share the good news. So as we do that, and you can kind of see the conditions around you of people. We need to be aware of our surroundings. I'm going to give a few right now. When you're around somebody and you're spending time with them, you work with them, maybe you play racquetball, tennis with them, basketball, I don't know. Maybe you run into them shopping at the store or something. You know, you're interacting with them and you notice something. There seems to be, their life has no meaning. Have you ever met somebody like that that they just don't care? Their life has no meaning. They're just like an emptiness there. This is a good sign, dear friend, of their spiritual condition. Either, number one, there's that great void that has not been filled by God, or sin is now taking back hold and bringing bondage into their life, and therefore they're backslidden away from the things of God. But one of the two things is true. And we which are spiritual, according to Scripture, we need to lift up such one as fallen. And so as you interact with people, you begin to notice and begin to see, and you see the symptoms of sin in their lives, and we need to be made aware of it. Brother Johnson, when you go fishing, you get up every morning, about every morning now still go fishing, don't you, about every morning? There's some things you notice about the area, about the weather, about the water, about the wind, that tells you something. This ain't going to be a good day to fish. The wind's blowing too hard. It's raining out here. Or there's 15 kids swimming where you normally go fishing at. You look around at your surroundings and you can pick those out. And you can see when you get ready to go out to travel and you know you want to head off to a vacation somewhere. You begin to look and see and say, well, the gas prices is up. Well, I'm going to have to travel at least 10 hours today so I can make the trip tomorrow and at least just one day, the next day just driving 6 hours. You begin to notice something about the trip, right? Is it by accident? Brother John said, by accident you walk out there and you know, with your eyes closed and you get to a good fishing hole? No, it's on purpose. Is it on accident you get from point A to point B on vacation? You go, here, Brother James, I think you took a group to D.C. not too long ago. You didn't just all of a sudden get on the first random bus that pulled up and say, hey, just be quiet, keep your mouth closed, we might end up in D.C. No, it was on purposely planned. So the same thing as we interact with people, we've got a purpose in our heart to pay attention. They give off signals. They give, you know, the things they talk about, the things they like, the things they dislike, that loneliness that's there because they have not experienced the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So as you get involved in their lives. Now, the Bible plainly declares, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says that people are lost. That's what the Scripture says. Look, let's look there. I'm going to look at these verses real quick. I was just going to run through them, but I think these here are important. Luke 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. John chapter 3 verse 16 says that for God so loved the world, right? Whoever believed in Him should not what? People are perishing all around us, aren't they? This is what happens with lost people. People without Christ. People that do not know Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. John chapter 3. Look over John chapter 3 and verse number 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. So there's no good news without understanding that there is bad news. And this is the bad news. People are lost and people are perishing. People are, according to John chapter 3 and verse number 36. Brother James, are you there yet?
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth.
The wrath of God abideth. This is serious stuff here, dear friend. We're talking about a sovereign God, a God that gave His only begotten Son, that the wrath of God was poured out upon His Son so that you and I might have eternal life. I mean, this is real serious stuff. John 3:18. Back up there, John 3:18. The Word of God says there, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." This is where lost people stand. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says they're without hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says the devil has blinded the eyes of those who know not the gospel unless they should believe. He's blinded them. Look around us. We're spiritually blinded all over this world. Not just in America, dear friend, but all over. And America is not exempt from this spiritual blindness. It really is not. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter number 7. And look at verse 13. "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Wow. Ephesians chapter 2, verses, I think it's 1 and maybe verse 5, but both of them speak of this. But it said you were dead in trespasses and sin. You're already dead. That's the bad news. And boy, that'd be hard. You know, it'd be like, going to the doctor's office and he looks at you and he says, "Well, you sure got a common cold, and the end of this common cold is death." Seriously? Just a common cold? Yeah, just that's it. I mean, I can't even get no Robitussin. I can't get no, Tylenol PM, some NyQuil or something. No, it ain't going to help you because, you just a common cold. You're just going to die. What kind of news is that? Can people die from a common cold? Sure they can. Sure they can. Can people die and go to a devil hell that never takes a drink of liquor? Never commits fornication? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. Why? Because it's not the sin that they commit. It is the rejection of a Savior that paid for that sin. Well, how do you know that? Because I've been born again now for 27 years. Bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, got saved on a Wednesday night, and I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jim, since that time to this time, there have been times that I have, guess what? Sinned. And I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Bought by the blood on my way to heaven. Preacher, why are you telling all this to us? Because I want you to see something in Romans chapter number 1, if you'd go there, Romans chapter 1. With this responsibility and privilege that we have been granted, it's more than just a response. It's more than just a privilege. According to this passage, which we're fixing to read here, Romans chapter 1, verse 14, 15, and 16, the Bible says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, we are in debt. And a debt that we cannot pay, but we are required to attempt to pay. We are His workmen, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It's workmanship. And we are in debt. I mean, we got folks running around here like Dave Ramsey, crazy, trying to get out of debt. Physically. But spiritually. We got folks that have never even passed out one gospel tract. We are in debt, dear friend. And this is the power of God, the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say something to you, dear friend. It's about time that we just put away the excuses. Some people say it like this, Brother Jim. Is it really my responsibility? According to Scripture, it is. According to Scripture, the Bible states very clearly that the Lord has placed this matter of the, I would say, the highest utmost of importance into our hands as believers. Yeah, I would say it's our responsibility. Some say it like this, Brother Bill. Men will not listen. That's why he said it's my job to bring the increase. It's just your job to plant water. Plant water. Plant water. Plant water. Plant water. Plant water. And allow God to bring the increase. Not necessarily they're going to listen. I guarantee you this, if you go into Scripture, you look throughout Scripture, especially at the life of Apostle Paul, you study Apostle Paul, there's times that he came up with it and began to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his testimony, about salvation, and there was those that heard him, and then there was those that did not. But he just kept going. You know what was said about Apostle Paul at the end? He said, I have kept the faith. I finished my course. Well, here's another excuse, Brother Bernard, we got. It says, you know, we're kind of like Moses. I'm just not able. I'm not able to not able to speak. Didn't he say that? The Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you Aaron. And every time he's in front of Pharaoh, Aaron ain't saying a word. It's all Moses. All Moses. Listen, God has commanded us to go, and He will provide the necessary tools and power that we need. Matter of fact, I take that back. If you're saved, He's already provided. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Not a one of us could really do it. Not a one of us have a good, I'll be honest with you, none of us. Have a good, clean conscience that really want to get out there and just do this. There's nothing in us, in our own self, our own makeup, that says, hey, I think I just want to go out there and just, you know, tell people about Jesus. But when we got saved, the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts and our lives began to do something for us. And now we have a desire to be obedient. It's just a tough thing. No, Brother Mike, really, he says commandments aren't grievous. Commandments aren't grievous. Here's the thing. Honey, you notice that our scales ain't working right. Brother James, I'm saying, every time I get it, it's going up. I'm going to give me a new pair of scales. That when I step on there, Brother Ray, things going to go down. You got the same... I don't want to borrow yours. Here's the thing. It ain't my scales, is it? No, it's not. Well, Johnson, I heard you yesterday told me I was looking healthy. Well, that's how he greeted me. Pastor, good morning. We're at the men's prayer breakfast. And he said, Pastor, you're looking healthy this morning. He'd been around my scales. The thing is not the scales. It's not that I don't know what I need to do to get that scale to go down. It's the want to, right? I know what I need to do. I know what I should do. I know what I ain't going to do. That's still 3/4 with the con pile on my counter right now. No. Brother Randy, you're doing a good job. You stay at it. You keep losing for both of us. It's not that we don't know what to do. Simply that we choose not to do. I can't love my spouse no more. That's a choice. You have to choose. Well, where's the precedence for that? God, if you've not chosen me, but God says, I have chosen you. You didn't love me first, God said. God said, I loved you and I died for you while you were yet a sinner. Principle's there. It's a choice. And we got to make this a conscious choice. You say, Pastor, why are we going through this? Why are we trying to get into this? Are we trying to fill up the church? If God does, God does. That's His business. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. It's not about filling up. We can fill up. All we got to do is have a circus out front. We can fill up. That's not the point. The point is about this here study and about going through this is that we as God's people need to understand that it is God's plan and method. It's how He operates. And what a privilege that He would ask you and I. Now listen, I know some of you work and you can't make it to our normal every other Saturday visitation or every other Thursday, but we do live a life. We interact with people on a daily basis. And so we're not to be robots where we only do it when we're at visitation. That's a bad thing too. That's horrible, to be honest with you. It should be just, like when we drink a bottle of water. We don't just do that on every other Thursday. It's like, but every day we take a drink of water, right? Maybe. Some of you, maybe a coffee or something. You're drinking something. It's something you do. That's what it is. It should come to a point where we're just in a daily conversation. That we recognize something about somebody. And it's as simple as this, dear friend. When you recognize it, you don't have to have a theological sermon with them for 15 hours. It starts out simple. Your testimony. What God has done in you. Leave it at that. Then the next time it comes around, you have opportunity. Share a verse of Scripture. We got to do something. Because if we don't do nothing, dear friend, people are just all around us are going to spend eternity in the devil's hell that we're going to be responsible for. That we will give an account for. God desires to do great work through us, His people. We just need to yield. I think we only got a couple more of these here and I think it's just two more lessons that we're going to go through on this, and we're going to be done. But, it's the heartbeat of God. Souls. It's what God is in this. He found you, didn't He? Amen for that. I'm glad He did. So just think about all the information that we've been getting. Everything that's been coming out. I know it's been a lot. 10 weeks of this, it's a lot. But it's needful. It is needful that we as a church understand that we have to be found faithful at this thing of sharing our faith with those around us. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity to be in Your house. God, I know it's been a long, long Sunday for some of us, for all of us that are here. Lord, I know it's sometimes difficult to allow the mind to absorb things this late in the hour. God, this is an important message, not because I'm the one speaking, but because it's Your Word. I pray, God, that in the tiredness of the hour, that our spiritual ear was paying attention and listening. God, help us to be doers of your word, Lord, to be obedient to Scripture, to be found faithful at sharing our faith with others. In Jesus' name, amen.